Good morning, Shabbat Shalom. As always in the parshas cover several different subjects, and sometimes it's difficult to choose which subject to the commentary on. Well, this time it was pretty cut and dried as to what the Lord wanted to say to us this morning, I think. Parsha Naso, lift up, Numbers 4:21 to 7:89. Last week, Mike Johnson covered the numbering of the children of Israel. And this week, it begins with completing the head count of the children of Israel taken in the Sinai Desert, a total of 8,580 Levite men between the ages of 30 and 50 are counted in a tally of those who will be doing the actual work of transporting the tabernacle. Think about that. 8,580 men just to transport the tabernacle. That's half the population of Megalia, if you think about it. That's a lot of folks. We know, in conservative estimates, number of the children of Israel, about 2 million. And the way that their camp was laid out, you had the tabernacle in the middle, then you had the camps at north, south, east, and west, almost like a cross. And if you do the calculations, this camp would stretch from here at the Nazarene Church to the beginning of Chico. That is mind-boggling. And for these other countries that they were walking through the desert through, would see this mass of people and animals coming towards them, of course they would be frightened. But to put it in perspective, that's how big this camp was. Also in this parsha, God communicates to Moses the law of the Sotah, the wayward wife. Really didn't want to discuss that this morning. Guys might have enjoyed it, and the ladies not so much. You can read about that for yourself. This parsha also gives the law of the Nazir, or the law of the Nazarene, who, of course, as we know, when they take a vow, stays away from wine, lets their hair grow, and at the end of it, they cut their hair and offer it to the God. We also see in here the leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel, each bringing their offerings for the inauguration of the altar. Although their gifts are identical, each is brought on a different day and is individually described by the Torah. The part I chose to speak about this morning was the priestly blessing. Aaron and his descendants, the priests, are instructed here how to bless the people of Israel. If you have your Bibles open, Numbers 6:22 to 27 gives us this blessing. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. What is called the priestly blessing, tongue twister, is actually a blessing from God. The priests are merely a mouthpiece for it. When the blessing is given, they, and we should too, should bow our heads and receive it from God. The Aaronic blessing, as we call it today, is actually three blessings in one. Yevarecha Kadonai v'yishmarecha. The Lord bless you and keep you. In other words, God protects us. God protects us. Ya'er Adonai panav lecha v'huneka. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. His face or his countenance is on us, is upon us, not merely towards us, But this gives us a sense of partnership with God. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord turn his face or his countenance towards you and give you peace. This is God's approval and God's favor. In scriptural language, the light of God's countenance and his smiles or favorable regards, his favor and his grace, to hide his face or countenance is to manifest his displeasure, to withdraw his gracious aids. So the rebuke of his countenance indicates his angers and his frowns. In Psalm 80, you read, "Restore us, O God of hosts. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved." You read it, it is repeated over and over and over in Psalm 80. And by this blessing, the priests are performing, verse 27, "So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I shall bless them." Today, just as a side note, Sephardic synagogues in their service with this blessing as a benediction. Ashkenazis only recited on Passover, Shavuot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. We, as a Messianic congregation, end our service with this blessing each week. But what struck me as I went through this was that we sometimes forget the importance of the things that we do. If we're not careful, they just become rote performance over and over and over. I remember as a child, I grew up here. I attended St. Thomas More, and I knew from start to finish how that mass was going to happen. And it was all in Latin. It wasn't in English. Back then, we didn't do it in English, and we weren't allowed to have a Bible because we wouldn't understand it. But I knew it just became a rote performance for me going through this mass. And my favorite service at the Catholic Church was on Good Friday. It was just the Stations of the Cross because it was over in about 20 minutes. So. But so many times we forget. We forget the importance of what we do. We forget, okay, the Torah service is a perfect example. We do the Torah service every week, and I hope and I pray that it is not just a routine ritual thing for you, but you understand exactly what we're doing. We're giving God thanks for his word. Think about that. I've attended many churches where they use this blessing as their benediction, and I wonder if the congregations even realize what its importance is. Or has it just become muscle memory and insignificant? How many times have you heard, "God bless you," when you sneeze? Do they really understand what they're saying? Do they really understand what they're telling you? The next time you hear someone sneeze, try saying, "Yevarechah Adonai," and see what kind of a response you get. I know in Israel they do not say that when somebody sneezes. They have another a saying. Do you happen to know what that is? It means good health. It's like in German, huh? Zygazoon. Okay, yeah. That's what they say instead of, you know, and me, if somebody sneezed in Israel, I would say, "Hey, you have a record cut an eye." So probably would be understood as the crazy American. In Germany, I think they say Gesundheit, good health. Good health. But do they really understand? It's just a habit. It's just something that they do. It's something that they say. So I guess my challenge to you this morning is to let's look to break away from habit and discover what it truly means to be blessed by God. In Genesis 12, God's commission of Abram shows his wonderful promise to make that man into a prospering nation and to give him a great and enduring name. More than that, God extends his blessing to those close to Abram and ultimately takes it to a global scale. pledging to bless the entire world by what he's doing in this one person's life. But let's not overlook the two conditions of the Lord's favor. From Abram's life, we see God values obedience and faith. You can read about that in Genesis 12, 15, and 22. So let us resolve to receive God's blessing with humility, obedience, and faith. Shabbat Shalom.